Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In looking up that word meek in the dictionary, I find that there are really two definitions of that word. First of all, it describes meek as patient, mild, not inclined to be angry, slow to be resentful. The other definition is too submissive, easily imposed on, spineless, spiritless. So there's a meekness which is strength, there's a meekness which is weakness. To be meek on Jesus' terms is not to be pushed around. Rather, it's a sort of endurance in the face of all realities and oppositions. Meek on Jesus' terms is to refuse to fight the battle of life on the world's terms. It is giving up everything if necessary, except the integrity as a person of Christ. Blessed are the meek, they are the ones who will last. Let's look at some church history. What can the world do with a Polycarp who was bishop of Smyrna in the second century of the church, who when he was told that his life would be spared if he denied Jesus, responded, 86 years I have served my Lord, and he has never failed me. How can I deny my King and my Savior? What can the world do with a Martin Luther, who for the sake of conscience faced both the powers of the church and the empire of his day, when he was told to recant and refuse to take back what he said and what he had written? What can you do with a person who cannot be bribed, threatened, intimidated, pressured, lured by money, power, position, or peer pressure, but stands on their ground to be loyal, faithful to what is true and what is just? We look at the example of Jesus. If he had been willing to bend just a little before Pontius Pilate, he could have been saved from the cross. If Jesus had been willing to put just a little less meek and more willing to fight on the world's terms, he wouldn't have had to die. In our baptismal liturgy, we speak of putting on Christ. Paul says it this way, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Paul later on said to a friend, "I'm going to Jerusalem. Imprisonment and affliction await me, but I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I might accomplish my cause and ministry, which I receive from the Lord to testify to the grace of God." Paul would have given up his life rather than deny his Lord. Do we find ourselves at that place? Christians keep their balance in life by realizing that God still is in charge of his world, and his word and his promises still abide. And that balance is knowing who we are, to whom we belong, why we are here, and where we're going. So how do we acquire this gift of meekness? One theologian explained it this way. "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian knowledge, the more easily we could reach them. I now find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. And that is not so much a matter of growing taller in knowledge as it is a matter of stooping lower in spirit, and that we have to go down, always down, to get his best gifts." He went on to say, "To be blessed, or we can say happy, can only come to the heart that will stoop low enough to reach it." In our baptism, we live aware of what God has done for us. And then we walk in faith, trusting in the love and forgiveness that has been given to us. Too often, we tend to live and deal with our faith life like a person putting a major project together, pouring out all the pieces and ignoring the instructions, diving into it only to find a piece left over, and then blame the instructions for not being clear. But God's instructions are clear. Taking time for prayer, listening, being present with God, taking time to read and study His Word and seeking His answers, time in worship, truly being present both in mind and body, and intentional in seeking His will. These instructions make us that new person. Can you be a Christian without growing deeper in faith? Can you have the promise of eternal life without having a new way of seeing God? Good questions. But maybe there's a more important question. Question: why be satisfied living on the fringe when God offers us so much more? That's always my concern as a pastor, because there are a lot of people that seem to be satisfied living on the fringe. A Christian missionary to India by the name of John Hite, when he boarded the ship, he took out a piece of paper that was given to him by his friend before he got on that boat. He read it, and then he crumbled it in anger. And he thought to himself, how dare my friend suggest that I should seek a closer walk with God? Have I not been a Christian all my life? Did I not have the comforts of family and home to serve my Lord? And yet the message kept gnawing at him. Perhaps he needed more. He spent that whole trip on that ship in deeper prayer, asking God to use him according to His will and shape him as a worthy tool to honor Him. When he got to India, he did feel closer to God. And when people referred to John Hite, they would say this: he's such a meek man. God has used him in wonderful ways. Jesus' words were directed to his disciples, words that they needed to hear as they went into a very hostile world. You and I need the strength of those same words. You and I need the strength of that meekness of Jesus that he modeled. Only then we will truly be blessed and fulfill our calling to be a blessing to others. Amen.